Nothing's any different. Nothing's really changed. Nothing's any different. Nothing's really changed. Nothing's any different. Nothing's really changed. You say I'm just imagining, but here it comes again.
The trick is not to despair, Jason. Not to despair.
I try not to.
Very true. We had Jamie Moore on drums, Matt Fowler on guitar, Cass Powers on bass, Florence Sabava on keys, and Terry Edwards on saxophone, but perhaps most importantly of all, on vocals, Sarah Bradbury. Yay!
Hello!
Welcome back to the Midweek Drive, Sarah. How have you been since we last featured, of course, the excitement of the first lover track we put together there?
I have been well. I've been eagerly waiting to come back on the show.
Oh, yes.
You guys are awesome.
Well, you know, we try. Many people would say we're very trying, but that's the bottom line. 2017, of course, is the year lover decide whether you're allowed to be a part of their world or not. With a morbid longing for the picturesque at all costs and ready to explore life no one thought could exist outside literature, where dissatisfaction is bohemian and vaguely Marxist in origin, lover are here to show you the beauty in the darkness. Sounds poetic to me, Jason.
It sounds very poetic
exactly.
Indeed.
Thoughts from yourself?
I was just a fantastic track. I was really. I wanted to ask you all questions about your influences. Having grown up in the kind of post-punk era, I kind of just heard echoes coming through again and again of just bands that I love there.
Thank you very much. I mean, I can answer that simply with everyone in the band loves Bowie.
Uh-huh.
Blondie.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a mix of that. It's that kind of 80s ring to it, I guess.
Yes. It sounds absolutely fantastic. I've now just been bookmarking loads of them on my phone, actually, that's playing to follow up on. Fantastic.
Well, another classic tune's coming up in a few moments, Fallen Famous. But Shaylee, you have some interesting factoids that you found out about Sarah that you might like to share, particularly with respect to Emily Pankhurst.
The more I read on now, the more I'm like not entirely sure.
Is it, well, we'll soon find out.
I'm on like a casting call thing, and I think this is her resume. Was it a music video?
Yes.
This is
on the right line.
Yeah, it's got you. It's out there on the web, Sarah. If it's out on the web, then obviously it can be fair game.
I can come clean.
Okay.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
So the band, the 1975, who are huge at the minute. I was in their music video. Not too long ago, and I played a suffragette. Everybody else was playing very glamorous Marilyn Monroe, Audrey Hepburn, and I was had my hair, you know, sprayed grey. There I was with my women's rights sign, proud to do it, but there I was, suffragette.
So you see, celebrate and rejoice.
Like
positive
it.
And so we move seamlessly, it would seem, seamlessly to Fallen Famous. I'll say again, Fallen Famous. Share with us, Sarah, what is the magic we're about to listen to all about? Fallen Famous.
Well, we wrote this as a band. Every single person had input in this song. And it was actually one of the first that we wrote. It came about very quickly. Someone had said, we should call our song Fallen Famous. You know, let's bring us out of the dark. Let's be the next big thing.
Nothing to do with famous people who've tripped up, perhaps. You know, kind of they've sort of stumbled.
No, we can go with that. We can go with that for this interview if you feel more comfortable with that. Really.
Sarah, whatever.
Yeah, sure. I saw someone trip over and I thought I'd write this song. It's a very epic song. There's a lot going on. It is, you know, tongue-in-cheek. It's not black and white. There's a lot of bitterness in there in between the joy of the song. But I hope you like it.
I think we're ready for this, Jason. Are you ready for Fallen Famous
absolutely.
And Lover?
Absolutely.
Shaylee, are you ready for Fallen Famous and Lover?
I am indeed.
The fallen famous decadence alone wasn't enough to tame us. lost in a world with no consequences to contain us. We're standing on the bodies of the fallen famous. Standing tall in the shadows of the misbegotten. Our costumes are fancy, but our motives rotten. One leg of oblivion and the pact's forgotten. We're standing in the shadows of the misbegotten. Bravery, slavery, which would you choose? You're standing here telling me there's nothing to lose. I'm sitting here telling you I'm lost and undone. This drama where I'm from, but nowhere to run. Stepping over the bodies of the fallen famous, carousing in the back room, aloof and nameless, sociologically, can any rule explain us? Our appetite to walk over the fallen famous. Our costumes are fancy, but our motives rotten. One lick of oblivion and the pact's forgotten. We're standing in the shadows of the misbegotten. Consequences to contain us. We're standing on the bodies of the fallen famous.
Jason, your thoughts?
Absolutely superb. I love that.
Shaylee McKenzie.
Thank you very much.
I can dig that. I like it.
A round of applause for fallen famous. Yay! In fact, I'm going to officially like the Lover Facebook page live on the
my
show.
My God.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you. It's a big moment in my life.
Well, you know, as Tony McDonald said, bless him, you know, it's important that, you know, up-and-coming artists are always supported from that point of view. And I think it's very good. Jason, thoughts, having listened to Fallen Famous, about Sarah and Lover and other things?
I absolutely adore your voice. It's fantastic. I wish I'd heard you before today, actually. I'd have listened a lot more before coming on the show.
Well,
and I will definitely be listening afterwards.
It's Lover, conquering the world one person at a time. It's wonderful. Shaylee, you had a quote and a half for this one, which I thought was very, and in fact, just deliver it, please. It could well be used by Sarah in the next sleeve.
So basically I said, so in a world full of little mixes, you're a breath of fresh air.
Oh, I love you a little bit more.
Excellent.
I'll take that, thanks.
Yeah. Shaylee, any thoughts from yourself?
No, just really enjoy the lyrics. You're very inspiring, definitely.
So you clearly won us over from that point of view. So the album, of course, is out now. Share with us what the next stage of human geography is going to be in terms of how Lover continue to develop and grow and evolve like some kind of wonderful, magical scenario.
Butterfly.
Nice, yeah.
We'll go with Butterfly. So we are writing more music. We've got a couple of big shows coming up. We are scheduled to support some big players, which is exciting, and we can't announce anything yet because mm-hmm. we've got to have the the go ahead from
absolutely.
Them.
Yep.
You know how it goes.
Absolutely.
But we're hoping for some more regional shows. That's what we want to do. We want to play outside of London because it's good to move around and play to new audiences. That's what we're looking for, some good support slots. And in the meantime, we're writing, we're playing, we're having some fun and, you know, just doing our thing.
I'm thinking really Lover would make a superb band at the Engine Shed somehow. You know,
oh, definitely. Show. I can see it. Yeah, definitely.
By the way, that's not some sort of British transport system I'm referring to. Sir, I appreciate that. It's one of the happening hip venues in the city of Lincoln, England, in case you're wondering.
That would be great. We'll be totally up for that.
Very good.
Hook us up.
Well, very good. In fact, I'll put the question to you that we're going to be putting to Robert Twigger. In fact, Shaley's going to be putting to Robert Twigger. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to your good self, Sarah, whilst performing in all sorts of ways?
Well, I used to work on cruise ships.
Ah.
And, yes, I mean, that's kind of embarrassing in itself, but I used to work on cruise ships and my costume just came off on stage.
It happens.
One day.
Lord knows I've been in so many lectures where that's been happening. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah,
only kidding, Jason, honestly.
You've got to grab and run. Grab
but
and
these
run.
Days with so NSS. Well, there we go. It just sums up the whole scenario. And I think, Shaley, it's time for you to put those last two questions to Sarah Bradbury. No relation to Ray, although clearly there is a science fiction thing going in some way, shape or form there.
Oh, definitely.
Well, there is. And I have a granddad who's called Ray. So for the time being, let's say that it's that Ray Bradbury.
It's like the Bradbury Chronicles all over again. The Silver Locusts and Dandelion Wine. It's just phenomenal. Over to you, Shaley.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Sarah?
Of course I have. I always do. It's a pleasure. And I enjoy being talked about in a lovely way. So.
You're more than welcome.
Yes, I love it.
And will you return? He's gone. She's gone very quiet now. She's having an eye.
I thought you were asking the question.
I don't think it's even something to think about. Of course I would return.
Brilliant.
I'll come and work with you guys and I'll just be there on the doorstep every day. That'll be nice.
Obviously, Jason will have to contact human resources about this, but I'm sure, we could work out.
If she's there, we'll be able to a shortcut.
Yeah, Festival of Creativity, all that sort of scenario.
Absolutely.
And it just opened up a whole range of fields.
Trust.
Yeah, sorry, Steve. Can't answer you that at all, really. Where is the love? Where is the mercy? Who knows? Out there somewhere. Maybe our inspirational philosopher and ace writer and author of Micro Mastery could be able to help. That would be Robert Twigger. Good evening, Robert. How
good
are
evening.
We?
Good evening. I'm very well. How are you?
We're delighted to touch base with your good self. As recommended highly, it has to be said, by our Edinburgh correspondent and ace writer, Bill Coles, who tragically would have been with us on the production at this very moment as a midweek drive-ed in Edinburgh had we not had technical challenges with that thing that begins with sky and ends in pa. Yes, sometimes...
He's such a cheapskate, he has to use Skype, does he?
Look, you know, that he's done his contributions. He's still trying to reach us. Bless his heart.
Okay.
You know, who knows?
He
may well emerge. We don't know. In the studio, Shaylee McKenzie and Professor Jason Whittaker. Shaylee has a question to jump straight in with your good self, if that's okay. So are you ready for this, Robert?
No, I'm ready.
Okay, go, Shaylee.
Hello, Robert.
Hello.
So my question is, what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
The most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to
me. Don't hold back.
Oh, gosh. It's never as bad when it happens. There's lots of things that have happened that are fairly embarrassing. But
he's going through a file of facts of embarrassing moments.
What was that?
Broadcastable ones.
There are none that spring immediately to mind. What can I say? I've been fairly good at avoiding them, I think.
See, that went so well. I'll thank William personally next time I actually speak to him.
That was one of his, was it? Should have asked me on the phone when he talked to me earlier. I'll tell you what, I'll be thinking about it in the back of my mind and maybe one of... Spring.
Well, exactly. Who knows what could happen over the course of the next 600 seconds or thereabouts?
600 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. Because micro mastery, surely, it's all about that. Your notion that we seem together, rather than actually spending 10,000 hours becoming an expert on something, you actually need to do an awful lot of things. But doesn't that say Jack or Jill of all trades, master of none? Where do we sit
on? Well, that's an interesting phrase, and it does come up. So I thought, okay, let's look at the origin of the phrase and... The kind of current era we live in, which kind of favours specialisation, has actually trimmed that expression to suit itself. The original phrase from a couple of hundred years ago was better to be a jack of all trades rather than a master of one. And it was an acknowledgement that it was better to have a hand in all things. And then there's an earlier formulation, which was it's better to be a jack of all trades than a master of none. Because, you know, the idea of trying to be a master for some people means they never actually get off the backside, whereas a jack of all trades is someone who gets moving. So that phrase shows the way that the polymathic or, you know, multi-talented person has been disrespected in the age of the specialist.
Jason, does this echo with your academic experience?
Well, actually, for many, many years, a phrase I've always used myself is a jack of all trades, a master of Blake. So, I focused on William Blake for my specialism, but, you know, I've worked as a journalist, I teach PR, I've done bits of creative writing, I sort of have, to, you know, over the years I've done whatever paid the bills to get to where I wanted to be.
That actually really rings true with a lot of, someone's done some research into Nobel Prize winners, and they're 15 times more likely to practice some form of art or craft, and 22 times more likely to do some kind of performance art, and it's because... They're highly specialised, but you have to feed your specialisation with other areas.
Yes, if you just read one thing.
Yeah, you don't have anywhere to go for rest among them for no other reason.
Shaylee, you're just about to launch into the world as a graduate, and obviously, I got the feeling Angela was a little bit unsure in terms of where you were going in terms of this. I didn't want to pursue it with her,
I didn't have the heart to tell her that I've got no idea.
It's always important. But any thoughts for yourself in terms of that flexibility and having, because we hear a great deal about career portfolios. Well, I mean, Jason, we've spoken at times at length about, you know, the notion of going freelance, for instance, at one stage, that wasn't something you did until you were up to the Dimbleby level of knowing that you're freelance and you could actually work through that. Whereas now we talk about career portfolios and aspects of that. I mean, does that frighten you, Shaylee, or is it a case of you think, well, no, actually, it's part of the excitement of the 21st century?
I think half and half, really. Obviously, entering the world of working the working world is daunting anyway. But in terms of his micro mastery, that's something that sounds really like interesting, and I can definitely relate to, because I often juggle a lot, and I'm often like averagely good at lots of things rather than being amazing at that one particular thing, which is probably why I've got no idea what I want to do after I graduate.
So, Robert, returning to yourself, you've written award-winning and acclaimed books on everything from modern masculinity, always important, studying Aikido in Japan, or is it Aikido? It's very confusing.
Yeah.
taking a polymathic look at the River Nile, and the obvious theme between all sorts of areas is adventure. Your novel, Dr. Ragab's Universal Language, is about a polymath living in 1920s Egypt, and your travel book, Voyageur, was an attempt to experience what it was like to be an explorer in the 1800s. Did I get the pronunciation right there, voyageur? Or should it just be
voyageur? Yeah, French kind of. Right, yeah. You're doing well. Yeah, no, I mean, so I can relate to Shelley. I had no idea what I wanted to do when I left, except not get a proper job. So I had a negative idea. So, you know, put off that as long as possible, I would say. And travel. The best thing to do is just get travelling, because when you start travelling, you're away from the normal influences, and you start to find out what you really like. Because that seems to me the main thing. Find out what you really like, and then do a lot of it, and then find out a way to get paid doing it.
Will Self has described your work as wholly original, a tour de force.
Yeah,
Adrian Turpin of The Independent, he called the adventure philosophical, he calls you the adventurer philosophical, and an eclectic range of travel books to remote places focus which on adventure, hardship and humour. Sarah Wheeler, author of Terra Incognita, lively, interesting, unusual and entertaining. Lloyd Grossman, no less, my favourite book about Japan. Tony Parsons, unique and dazzling talent. I can go on, Jason.
Well,
sounds like a guest speaker to me.
It does indeed.
Jason, thoughts and questions for yourself.
You mentioned about the sort of the going back to the phrase "jack of all trades" about how sort of it's changed over the past 200 years, and the one book was about the Voyager in the 18th century.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested. My background as a romanticist is precise at that point where specialism, in a sense, starts to come in. So in the 19th century, people split the arts and sciences for a start. Yeah. So I'm guessing you're attracted to that pre-split.
I am, yes, and I was only thinking about Blake today, actually, for the marvellous kind of polymathic figure he was. I mean, certain eras, kind of, you know, being a polymath is okay. Revolutionary America, Elizabethan England, Islamic Spain at the height of its kind of glories, and in other eras, it's pretty tough to be a polymath, and you know, you can only do it secretly. I mean, a friend of mine was pointing out the current era. You're only allowed to be one when you've been really successful. And then you can come out and say, oh, actually, I do all these other things. But I didn't answer your question, did I?
No. Actually, you did.
It's interesting, anyway.
You answered it in the sense that you identified three different periods where it was great to be a polymath. In a sense, I was just focusing on one, but actually, no, that there have been plenty of times where people with a variety of interests, Elizabethan England or Islamic Spain at its height, but this was the time to be alive.
Yeah. People just, you know, it's like, it only takes a few people to sort of set the temper of the times, and then everybody says, oh, I'm going to do that.
Yes.
I mean, and nobody's born a specialist. One of the great bits of research I turned up was done by some Norwegians into combining personality testing and people's inclination towards various subjects, and they found that 96% of people are not natural specialists, which is not really surprising considering kids very rarely say, you know, I want to study molecular biology. And it's something that culturally we adapt to, but it's not something in our nature, so to speak.
I'm just impressed, Robert, that after attending Oxford University, you spent a year training at martial arts with the Tokyo Riot Police. It works so simplistically together, doesn't it? You know, you do your degree, you do Tokyo Riot Police after that. You've won the Nudigate Prize for Poetry, the Somerset Maugham Award for Literature, and the William Hill Sports Book of the Year Award. Incredible stuff that we've actually got here.
I'm amazed even I did it. Yeah.
And you've been described as a 19th century adventurer trapped in the body of a 21st century writer. So, go on, Robert, when are we going to see the autobiographical movie of Robert Twigger, the contemporary Indiana Jones?
I did write a script about the first book about being in Japan, and it was optioned by Miramax, but it subsequently disappeared into development hell, where it remains. So
well,
it's not likely to happen, I'm afraid.
We'll start the campaign now, and just like butterflies flying their little wings in Japan, who knows what could actually work on that basis. Finally, I need to acknowledge, because, yes, I hold my hand up here, when we first started discussing Your Good Self with William Coles, I did say, surely it's a made-up name. No, Twigger might be an amusing name, but it actually originates. So, in fact, share with us how the Twiggers actually have emerged, please, Robert, in the world.
Well, there's lots of conflicting... information, but I cleave to the idea that the Twigger, because there aren't that many, there are 129 Twiggers in the phone book, the UK phone book. Mm. So the idea that the Twigger was somebody who used twigs, which seems like a very general kind of occupation, seems unlikely. And there's another derivation, twig, twin, may come from the dowser, the sort of the branched twig of the dowser. So Twiggers were dowsers, or people who went finding water, which of course was a very important job in the
era. As our midweek driver Hannah Brown, who's currently in Harwich, would actually say, in J.K. Rowling's Quidditch Through the Ages.
Yes, the Twigger 90 was a very, very, I think it blew up on the test pad there.
Well, there's obviously a message there. I won't go into left jokes, but I think there are about 43 of us around the world, but still, little lions. Anyway, life continues. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut with us on the production, Robert Twigger?
Very nice, very impressed, and best of luck. Keep it up.
Well, we try. That's the important thing. So allowing for the fact that clearly checking out roberttwigger.com is the place to go to find out all manner of marvellous details, can we prevail upon you to return to us in the very near future? Robert, will you be kind enough to come back to the Midweek Drive?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think a round of applause for Robert Twigger.
Yay!
Skies that big, city heights. I felt you walk right through me. You're the thing that I invoke. My old persistent ghost sent to make me crazy.
And oh, it's hard now. The time it works.
To be human is to love, even when it gets too much. I'm not ready to give up. To be human is to love, even when it gets too much. I'm not ready to give up. Tigers have me now, I don't care, I hear them howl, I let them play right through me. Ooh. Can you help me not to care? Every breath becomes a prayer, take this pain from me.
And oh, you're so far now, so far.
Doesn't make it any easier to live with. What's the point of knowing it if you
can't change it. You can't change, can't change it.
So if your mind is too loud, even when it gets too much, I'm not ready to give up.
So it goes at the conclusion to Wonder Woman, of course, without any kind of trailer at the end, but that doesn't stop it being absolutely superb movie. What do you think, Richard Edwards? Have you seen it as yet?
I haven't yet, shockingly.
Oh! Despite the fact that edition 288 of the world's number one science fiction magazine has a Wonder Woman exclusive, can she save the DC movie universe? Yes, she can.
I know, I've heard this from so many people, and I'm so excited about seeing it. SFX, our next issue, does have a feature, a five-star review of it. We've actually gone out, but someone else got the lucky go on that one. I haven't had a chance to go yet, so very glad everyone says it's good.
But you were a judge, of course, for the Sci-Fi London Film Festival 48-Hour Film Challenge, which indeed had an entry from the Midweek Drivettes, which, again, I thought worked wonders. But how was that experience? Because is that the first time you've actually been a judge at a film festival, Richard?
A long time ago, I was on a jury. I think it was the Leeds Film Festival for a short film competition. That was about 12 or 13 years ago. But aside from that, this was the first time I'd done it for the Sci-Fi London one, and I was amazed by the quality. I mean, just the fact that they've put together films in 48 hours that are, you know, they are professional. I mean, obviously the guys are making them professional, but, you know, the speed they have done this, and the effects are good, and the writing's good, and it's superb.
Well, I have encouraged the Midweek Drivettes to put Takedown again on their social media sites and spread the word with respect to that one. That was one that was actually shot with the Midweek Drivettes in Scotland, in Harwich, and indeed in Lincoln. Three different places, all connected together via the web. It was extraordinary. Still, just shows what things can do. As Louis said, the worst thing that you could say about the 48-hour film challenge is at the end of the weekend, you've made a movie. Or in the words of Louis Savvy...
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM. My name's Louis Savvy, director of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival.
I trust you appreciate it. He needs contractually to get a mention in your slot, Richard. It's important. You know, those things are actually there. Professor Jason Whittaker is in the studio with us. I think you met Richard very briefly because he was part of the first ever event that we put together in the Telefantasy and Society package from that point of view. And still, on a monthly basis, anchors the sheer wonderment that is the world's number one science fiction magazine. Kaylee is just currently engrossed in the whole sequence with, of course, Blade Runner 2049 emblazoned upon the front cover as well. It's just more than wondrous. Words for yourself, Jason.
Actually, the Blade Runner 2049... It's a cause of concern for me because that is my favourite. The original is my favourite ever movie. Yes. So I'm terrified that's what's going to happen with the sequel.
I think it's in good hands with Ryan Gosling, though. He is definitely on the rise as an actor of his generation.
And of course,
Denis Villeneuve, the director, who made Arrival, which was brilliant, which was probably the best sci-fi film of last year. So,
yes.
I really hope that they do something good with it. I mean, it's been, 35 years? And I think we just have to accept it can not be quite like the original, but as long as they don't make something terrible and something interesting, fingers crossed.
It's been a kind of, again, as ever, you have those sort of franchise issues. You think, where can we go with this? Is it going to work? Is it going to have that sort of magic that's around? I mean, obviously, Shaylee, you weren't even born when Ridley Scott first launched Blade Runner. I was fortunate enough to see it in Leicester Square, came out of the theatre, I think it was the Odeon Leicester Square, and it was almost as though I'd stepped into the world of Blade Runner. It was raining, it was pouring down, etc. That was 1980s, there's a sort of dystopian cyberpunk future. Even William Gibson said, once he saw Blade Runner, he almost went home and cried, because he thought they'd taken all these ideas for Neuromancer. Thankfully, no, that was to be done by the Wachowskis and the Matrix later on, but still, that's a sort of sequence. But any thoughts from yourself, Shaylee, about drum roll.
I'm not that special.
I thought for a moment there it was our Edinburgh correspondent trying to reach us again. No, just a drum roll. Any thoughts for yourself about, again, the science fiction feel, as it is, because, of course, next up, Arthur C. Clarke Awards.
Oh, wow. Oh. Yeah, no, it's just very interesting. And in terms of, redoing originals and sequels and stuff, I rewatched Terminator Genesis the other day and enjoyed it more the second time than the first time. The first time I found it a bit cringy with Arnie's I'll Be Back references and everything.
And I believe he will be in future areas.
No, definitely.
Oh, he's desperate to keep it going.
The more money
he
can make.
Else is, but he's really keen, yeah.
It'll work. What other high spots have we got from the current issue? Because clearly you've been busily at work there, not only as an ace editor, but you've got some features in there as well that you'd like to share with us, I'm sure, Richard.
Oh, God, this is embarrassing. I can't... what did I write in that one?
I do believe...
I've just finished the next one.
It's constantly on from that point of view. I do believe you had a number of sort of features that were coming through in the latter. Did you do something on The Mummy? Was that one of yours that was around?
That wasn't me, actually. That was...
We'll get it right before too
long. Transformers was me.
Transformers, exactly. Which, of course, carries through a theme which our regular film correspondent on Thursday mornings has already pinned as being the worst ever movie he has ever seen in any way, shape, or form. That, of course.
Which one? Which one of the Transformers movies? Because there's a few contenders in there. So.
We're not talking any Transformers. We're talking Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
No way. I want to see that. Well, is it no good?
When you say no good, obviously we're dealing with value judgment.
It's got Jude Law in it. How can it not be good?
David Beckham's accent seems to have been delivered by Dick Van Dyke in terms of his Mary Poppins incarnation.
David Beckham speaks like Dick Van Dyke anyway. Yeah, so yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, Richard, have you checked out the Arthurian legend as yet?
It's just not very high up my list. It wasn't before it came out, and then all the reviews came out, and I thought, really?
Dodged a bullet there.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? It didn't look promising. I mean, Cockney King Arthur, so it just doesn't really do it for
if
me.
If you like Guy Ritchie movies, and you like the thing that Guy will do within his movies in every sense of the word, then you might sort of find something in it, but it certainly...
Didn't he do Rock and Roller?
And indeed Layer Cake, and indeed Sherlock Holmes.
No, Layer Cake
was good.
Layer Cake wasn't Guy Ritchie.
Was it not?
No, it's Matthew Vaughan. Yeah,
quite right, yes.
Which is why it's worth watching.
Guy Ritchie isn't listening.
He was happily married to Madonna for a few years. Obviously,
happily?
Yeah, exactly. it all went pear-shaped, really. Never mind. It's all there. So the reason I mentioned Arthur was the Transformers element of the latest incarnation is based on the Arthurian myth. I mean, who would have thought that Optimus Prime was actually Merlin in disguise? It's amazing.
I mean, surely, though, no one had dismissed it. I mean, surely it was a possibility all the way through, you know.
Ever since we first saw Bumblebee convert himself into that yellow being from the car.
It's Galahad. It's Lancelot, yeah. I want to be optimistic about it because I quite like the first Transformers movie and it's all been diminishing returns since then. But they clearly want to do something different. I mean, they've got a load of writers together. They thrashed out loads of ideas. There's just this big worry in the back of my mind that they'll have some cool ideas at the beginning and then it will just dissolve into Michael Bay sort of slow-mo explosions and lots of big robots, you know, fighting each other. So I want him to surprise me.
The jury is out, clearly. Yeah. Meanwhile, The Mummy Review, Universal's monsters are back from the grave and up and running. Yes, another possible franchise for Tom Cruise to actually sort of take on board for that whole sequence. Is that something which you're looking forward to, or is it a case of no, we just sort of wait and see what happens?
I think it's an interesting one. I think because they've made this Dark Universe franchise, which is bringing all classic Universal monsters, so they're going to do Bride of Frankenstein with Javier Bardem as the monster, and there's going to be Invisible Man with Johnny Depp, and Russell Crowe's sort of linking sort of factor as Dr. Jekyll. So they're trying to do the whole Marvel shared universe thing, which, okay, I can see why they're trying it, but I'm a little bit sceptical because I'm not sure they're meant to join together in the same way, and I'm not sure people are quite as excited about Frankenstein's monster as they are about Iron Man. You know, we'll see how it goes. If they make good movies, then it's fine, you know, and you know, it will work out. But doesn't feel that strong a hook to me.
And of course, there was always the delights of Van Helsing with Hugh Jackman, which was interesting.
I used to love that. It's Kate Beckinsale as
That's
well,
right,
isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh no, I used to love that film.
We have finally, Richard, found somebody who loves Van Helsing. I knew it was going to happen.
The
and
creepy
there we are.
Eggs hanging.
Well, that was the movie, wasn't it? That was going to turn. Launch Hugh Jackman to the next level after Wolverine had kind of broke him out.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he ended up with Wolverine. Continually.
He stuck with
and Wolverine. Exactly. Until death do his part from that point of view. Clearly, you can go to the website as well, which is gamesradar.com/SFX. Are you going to be heading off to the San Diego Comic Con, Richard Edwards?
I am not this year, actually.
No.
For the first time in many years, I have stood aside to let someone else have a bit of fun in San Diego.
Ultimate sacrifice.
That
ultimate
is.
Ultimate sacrifice. You know, not taking the San Diego
That's not
trip.
The job of an editor, surely.
As witness our very own managing editor. No, I would say anything at this stage. Always, year in, year out. Jason, any other questions you'd like to add to...
less a question. I just want to share a story. Transformers. Once there was a crash outside our house. The car was upside down. There was a group of people gathered around it. And I was watching the first Transformers movie inside and did not hear a damn thing because of the noise of Michael Bay's explosions.
And there's a message somewhere in terms of sense around
yes,
headphones.
My ears have never been the same.
Exactly. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Richard Edwards?
I have, thank you very much.
Can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, probably pre-San Diego, actually, if you're still in this side, and after you've seen Wonder Woman?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, very much. Oh, I'm definitely seeing Wonder Woman. That will be very, very soon.
Paves the way for Justice League and thankfully actually opens up a whole new field. Although, as I say, if you want to wait right until the very end, which is always laudable because you see all the credits, etc., expecting them to be a kind of end credit teaser, there isn't one. Okay? So there we are. But we do have the music.
But at least I'll know who played all the music. So.
Exactly. Rupert Gregson-Williams, Trafalgar Celebration. Oh, it's profound and emotional at the same time, except banned in Lebanon because Gail Gadot is an Israeli-born actress. So obviously they banned the movie completely in Lebanon. Curiously, they didn't ban Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Maybe they didn't realise. Still. don't get me started on censorship. Richard, we salute you. Take care now.
Bye.
And that's the guitar riff that Rupert Gregson-Williams has signified, the March of Wonder Woman and so on, which I suppose was actually put forward by Hans Zimmer, I believe, in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. We haven't managed to reach Phil Dearness, we've got his answer phone or his voicemail, but good news, we've decided to wrap up the programme with the person who we had hoped would be connected with us all the way, but is back with us now. That's William Coles. How are you, William?
I'm chirpy. Thank you so much for asking.
Working our way through Anna Lewis in Jersey, through Angela Rippon-Obi, Sarah Bradbury, Robert Twigger, whose most embarrassing question didn't really work, did it, really, somehow? Here,
no,
what happened? He bobbed it off.
Yeah. He floundered, and it was embarrassing for me more so than him.
Oh, well, that's the problem with these questions. That if you ask them something, they've got to, it helps with alcohol.
Bear that in mind for future reference. So.
They've got to be sufficiently lubed up. If they're not lubed up, you can't go. It's tricky to go in with a full throttled question like that. Though I thought you'd be able to charm him. Obviously not.
You never know. It could be there. Now, I gather you've sent me a request for that Skype for scenario, which I haven't received. So clearly there are various issues coming up to all there, which I don't intend to actually go into at all. But
right, okay,
Jack. Shaylee, would you like to share with William and the listener who might want to pick this up via podcast what sort of excitements we've had on the programme so far?
Oh, yeah, we've had loads. So Anna Lewis has moved house, mm-hmm. and she's trying to sell loads of instruments. Mm-hmm. So if anybody listening is interested in...
Saxophones.
Yeah.
Violins.
Yeah.
Piano's gone, but, you know, drums are there.
Oh, no, I wanted the piano.
No, it's there, yeah. We followed that, of course, by speaking to the man who's online now, where he's kind of bouncing in and forward, back and forth from that sort of perspective, which is just genuinely wonderful. Jason, were you duly impressed with Angela Rippon? Did you feel she was
awesome? I was indeed, yes, absolutely. And look forward to meeting her when she comes up.
Exactly. And a reminder that if you want to maintain your credibility, William, BBC Two... Yes, other TV studio channels are available. BBC Two, a week tomorrow, that's June the 15th.
Yes.
Between 8:30 and 10 o'clock,
your
chance to vote for Angela Rippon, who would claim that the greatest scientific invention of contemporary times is penicillin. Not television. Not indeed. I don't know what Len Goodman was doing. I mean, I kind of lost
steam.
It.
Oh, was it steam. Something to do with steam?
What did it do with dance floors, is it really? No. I don't know why they've given Len Goodman steam.
Seven?
Precisely. Maybe he's looking to actually broaden his portfolio. Maybe he's been reading the work of Robert Twigger and actually sees himself as more than just a dance critic now. I'm just speculating here. But anyway, that's 8:30 to 10 o'clock. BBC Two, a week tomorrow. There's something else happening tomorrow that I think people are going to be tuned into. I personally will be in a wet field somewhere in North Yorkshire. And that probably sums up the state of the political affairs. I don't want to go any further than this. Exactly. Jason, you were very taken with Sarah Bradbury as well, I believe.
I was indeed, and we'll definitely be looking out for more music by Lover. We're fantastic. But
I always feel there's a tendency to go West Country then, or Eat My Lover, but I managed to avoid it throughout the interview, which was good. Robert Twigger, as we've said, I think was we were impressed with him. We worked our way through that, and indeed you're absolutely right, William. Twigger is indeed a real name because he gave us the entomology of Twigger.
That was interesting.
Etymology.
Yeah.
Was the professor impressed with his intellect? I mean, you know, it bristles off him, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Yeah, and actually, it was precisely
like your guitar.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
That's why we had to structure the whole programme around il professore, you know, all there.
But it's that sheer fascination with a multiplicity of subjects. I was talking to him about the fact that the period I'm really interested in, which is the Romantic period in the 18th century, that's prior to that great split between the arts and sciences. So, you know, you'll have plenty of people who are exploring new boundaries in science who also want to be painters and poets and writers.
I do feel that although we've had problems with Skype in Edinburgh, Phil Leonis might be there via Skype. Are you there, Phil?
I am here. The 95 sitting in a parking lot heading towards Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and that is proof that if you want to connect via Skype, clearly, Bill, move to a different continent. You know, it's no use. It's no use being in Edinburgh.
I'm in the wrong country.
Exactly, Phil. We've been trying 2 hours almost to get William Coles lined up for the whole thing. But welcome back to the programme, Phil. We were just worried. We thought, where's he going? We got your answer phone. Professor Jason Whittaker has been saying the programme is not complete without a little healthy maxim from Phil Linus, and there you are. welcome.
I loved hearing a little bit via Skype about this discussion of science. I was in Baltimore yesterday and was shocked, pleasantly so, to learn that the great musical artist Thomas Dolby is actually a professor of science at Johns Hopkins University.
Fantastic.
It's because he was blinded with science.
Absolutely.
He blinded me with science. Marvelous.
Blinded by science, and yet he passes that blindness on to his science students, and that's what we love.
It's wondrous. Anyway, you have a chance to connect Edinburgh with... remind us where you actually are on this road trip, Phil, because the power of Shaley McKenzie, who indeed has been following Lily, has just presented us with a load of wonderful photographs and the busyness that is Lily Holliman. Where exactly are you once again?
I am somewhere between the summit of man's knowledge and the pit of his fears.
Oh, God.
Dee, 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 dee. Oh, splendid. And still continuing.
Day 15 of a 32-day road trip. Day 2 of flying solo without Ms. Holliman, who flew back to Los Angeles to film a movie in which she is acting. And she will be rejoining me in D.C., next Tuesday, and then we begin the long, arduous trip back.
So, allowing for that, Bill, and hopefully you've been paying attention to that, I mean, we were talking earlier about your next stage in terms of boating scenarios there. What about a transatlantic trip in a kind of Thor Heyerdahl mode, across to connect with Phil Leonis? Would that be a challenge you'd go for?
And I'd have a little radio with me, and every day I would call you up to give you a report of what the sea looks like.
It's wondrous.
And I could have a little fishing line on the back to catch whichever fish tuna I feel like feeding me that day. Yes, I think it's a brilliant idea. I love it.
Exciting times, of course, Phil. Or indeed, Phil, I'm saying to Professor Jason Whittaker here. Jason, it's very likely that Phil Leonis may well be in Lincoln around August time this year.
Ah, superb. That would be wonderful.
Manchester and Lincoln.
Manchester and Lincoln.
Easily together. We're working
next door
on that
to
basis.
Each other.
I feel it will happen. What do you feel? Do you feel that, Phil, in your bones?
That I will be there?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, right now I feel that I will be on this freeway for a long time. But once that feeling subsides, I'm sure that the feeling of getting on a plane to go to your fair shores in August will sweep over me and see me through these next 2 months.
Exactly. Bill, how can you actually motivate him to actually work on this space? Because as you know, in fact, have you ever spoken to Phil Leonis before? Because most times you're at the opposite ends of the programme. You know, there's William Coles, who's kind of towards the beginning, and there's Phil Leonis at the end, and somehow we tried to connect that. Now it's happened, you know, as if by magic. Why?
It's happened, yeah, and I've heard so much about it.
Exactly, yeah. Any questions?
It's an honour.
I have a vague recollection of actually having a transatlantic link with William Coles when we were both in Arizona, different parts of Arizona. Is that possible? Was there a time when William Coles was in Arizona?
I haven't been in Arizona for 20 years. not since.
It was quite so the transatlantic link, and that is not a no.
exactly. It's the time traveling transatlantic link.
Yeah.
Exactly. We worked our way through that. Shaley, any questions you'd like to put to either to Bill or to Phil? See,
yeah.
Bill and Phil. There's a series there. Genius. Carry on.
Phil, are you having fun on your road trip?
Of course. Of course I am. I mean, amidst the Mac laptop dying and needing to be replaced, amidst stepping on my prescription eyeglasses and needing to replace them, amidst the hit and run incident in Baltimore yesterday, car got sideswiped. These are all very expensive, of course, but the memories of a road trip, those are priceless.
Exactly.
That sounds like another novel in the making to me, Bill. You know, definitely way
it
forward.
It sounds like a MasterCard, doesn't it?
Was that MasterClass, or was it some sort of advertisement for some sort of credit union that was around there? You know, let's not go there, really. In fact, I was just actually looking at Jason's last appearance on the Midweek Drive when he was surrounded by Midweek Drivers. Shaley, you hadn't actually appeared on that show at that stage, but, you know, you're back with us now. Now, lo and behold, So is Jason. It's worthwhile. So worthwhile setup. Jason, any thoughts for yourself for either Bill or Phil?
For Phil, I hope that you have a much better and safer journey back to Los Angeles. I've always wanted to do a road trip across the US. It's kind of one of those iconic...
There are always going to be mishaps. On the road, there are always mishaps. I've learned this, these many decades. That's part of it. That's part of the adventure, right?
Indeed.
And to help you on your road with that adventure, would you like to give me a number between 2 and 27, Phil?
No.
Fine. Bill, a number between 2 and 27 to actually help us through the... And to help Phil, really. This is a field that the runes, 26. The tarot thing... You've gone straight for 26. No messing about whatsoever. 18 seconds of wonder. Here it comes.
Being fair and reasonable will earn you respect and admiration. But being genuinely kind will make you a total love magnet. Pucker up the universe.
There you are. Hopefully that'll help, Phil. You know, it is designed to sort of work your way through. As selected by Bill Coles in Edinburgh. That's in Scotland, by the way.
Yes, I'm a big, big advocate of kindness, as you know. No one's more kind than me. But I'm writing down 26 as a memo to self. Never pick 26. That one we...
And so we reach the stage where I'm going to ask Bill Coles to put those last two questions to Phil Leonis. How does he get Skype to work so easily when he's over in America where he couldn't even connect to us from Edinburgh to Lincoln? It's just, it's magical, really. It's just, the other two questions. Go for it, please, Bill, because I know sometimes you like to sort of throw in a few wobblies here. You like to ask, you know, a whole range of strange things. I'll leave it up to yourself to decide what kind of riff to do these last two questions with.
Phil, on a scale of 1 to 28, how interesting has your telephonic link been with Siren tonight?
Well, that would be a 26. Oh, wait, you fooled me. I just picked 26.
Very good. And is it a repeatable one, or is this an unrepeatable experience?
Well, I think portions of it are repeatable. It is a repeatable scientific experiment. But we don't know if the results will be the same. That we can't know.
And it's that kind of...
Yes, of course.
Yeah, it's that cliffhanger ending that just opens up a whole range of ways, etc. Fantastic. Professor Jason Whittaker, have you enjoyed the programme?
I have indeed. Thank you for having me on again, Alex.
Always a delight. And Shaylee, good for you.
Oh, always and forever.
You see, it's what makes staying in Lincoln just that little bit more bonus. Bonus. It's wonderful stuff. For the general souls that are actually out there, we're wrapping up with Thomas Dolby. And then all sorts of great stuff happens on Siren, including more poetry, which can't be a bad thing, between the hours of 8 and 9. Word perfect. And that's it. Thanks to the aforementioned Anna Lewis, Bill Coles, Angela Rippon, Sarah Bradbury, Robert Twigger, Richard Edwards, Phil Leonis, and of course Bill Coles and you, dear listener. Can we all say bye-bye? Let's see if we can coordinate this between Edinburgh, between the United States of America, and between the British Isles just before we get a whole new government. Oh, yes, it's a great routine that's happening tomorrow, election time. A 1, 2, 3.
Bye.
We didn't hear you in America. Would you like to say it one more time?
So long.
Nice. They're very good there. Cue Thomas Dolby. He's still waiting. He's still waiting for his professorship. Anyway, he's here now.